And now, you're tuned in to RBLR, the home of Tampa Bay's Reveler Sports.
What's going on, Tampa Bay? Welcome to RBLR Bucks Podcast, where we bring the heat, hype, and the heart of the 813 and 727 straight to your ears. I'm your co-host, Musab, keeping that Buccaneers energy alive all off-season long. And just because that, as I mentioned already, just because that Super Bowl confetti is settled doesn't mean we're slowing down. You know, there's things still going on, especially with all these free agent moves. We got the draft coming up soon. So there's always something to talk about. And, you know, a friendly reminder is, you know, we always got some other things going on in the Tampa Bay area. You know, we have our beloved, you know, Lightning, Sun FC team, our Rowdies, and our Rays, who are all getting in some action. So that being said, folks, you got some thoughts, hit us up in the comments. You know, whether you're watching this live or, you know, catching us later, we want to hear from you. We want to see what your thoughts are. Tell us if we're wrong. Tell us if we're right. Tell us if, you know, you just think we're the biggest idiots in the world. But, you know, we want to keep that conversation going. And we want to be repping Tampa Bay the right way. So, and of course, you know, I'm never riding solo. Joining me is the iconic duo. First to my right, Mr. Zach Blaine. What's the good word, my friend? It's good to have you back as well.
I know, man. Work's been crazy. I was working out on the North Carolina state line, inspecting some of the Hurricane Helene damage and watching them rebuild that road out there. So it's been adventurous, man. I'm glad to be back here talking some Bucks, though, man.
Absolutely, man. I'm glad you can bring that energy and, you know, put some damage on this podcast. All right. Well, hey, this podcast isn't, complete without the final puzzle piece of this iconic trio. Don't ever forget the man who brings the fire, Mr. Carter Brantley. How are you doing, my friend?
I'm doing well. Hope all of our listeners are doing well, of course. We're 1 week closer, 1 week closer to the draft, 1 week closer to football, all that good stuff. It's an exciting time. It was kind of, like you mentioned, kind of a dead week in terms of news, but there's still some stuff to talk about. We've, of course, got some draft stuff to talk about because, you know, we're making our way through the positions and everything. So that'll be the second half of our episode, so definitely stick around for that. But before I get too deep into it, definitely give us a follow if you're interested in keeping up with us. Like Musab said, we've got content coming out all across our channel. So hit that like and subscribe button. And like Musab said, definitely hit us with those comments because I know y'all are going to disagree with some of the stuff that we're saying because, you know, we're stupid. We're idiots, like Musab said. So, you know, we're always going to be getting stuff wrong. So definitely hit us up if you disagree. But I'll kick us off. I'll get us started with kind of the biggest news around the NFL from this past week was the Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins extensions or re-signings. I don't know what we're calling them, but they both got new contracts. That's what I'll settle on. And T. Higgins, my goodness, he's I believe the highest paid wide receiver too in the NFL. I think he's a top 10 wide receiver in terms of AAV. That's T. Higgins, really good, well-deserved, not disagreeing with the decision and all that, because the alternative of letting them walk was daunting for the Bengals, especially after letting Jesse Bates and DJ Reader walk in free agency to save all this cap space for T. Higgins and Ja'Marr Chase. But anyways, this is a Buck show. I'm talking too much about the Bengals. Chris Godwin's contract, I don't know, like compared to T. Higgins, I know T. Higgins is better. He's younger. Obviously, it's hard to compare, but does your perception of the Chris Godwin deal change at all? Mr. Treek, I'll start this question off with you. What were your thoughts on the T. Higgins and Ja'Marr Chase contracts, more specifically T. Higgins' deal and how it relates to Chris Godwin's?
You know, I'll tell you this. When it comes to the money now in the league, it's just getting out of hand. You know, it's kind of like the same way with, you know, look, these players are basically stocks. You know, you're investing in these guys, especially when you're putting all your coins into just two guys or the majority of your money into two guys. So it always comes with some risks. And to me, listen, I mean, I'm not going to be a hater just because a guy is getting paid, but.
But let me be a
comparison
hater.
Now. What?
Let me be a hater real quick. I'm not trying to be a hater.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Let me be a hater real quick. I just think that it's pretty pretty nuts just because there's so much more to a team, you know, other than, you know, your two star wide receivers. I get it. I mean, yeah, they are great. But now, you know, bringing this back to the, you know, Chris Godwin, to be honest, I really don't have much to say. I feel like, you know, I'm happy with what, you know, what we were able to, you know, work out with Chris Godwin. And now correct me if I'm wrong, but I have seen a couple of, I guess, articles and news regarding, you know, the T. Higgins and Jamar Chase, you know, contracts. And it appears also the Bengals have kind of shot themselves in the foot by kind of, you know, waiting it out a little bit. You know, they're losing millions from what I've seen. So
we could do a whole episode on the bungling.
Yeah. So I mean, in that case, it's just like, you know, shout out to our front office staff for the Buccaneers, you know, getting these kind of things done ASAP instead of, you know, kind of, you know, playing the long game. So I'll leave it at that.
Yeah, I mean, the lesson to take from this is just, you know, when you see that you have two really elite wide receivers, don't wait for them to have another career year, and just the money keeps getting higher and higher. So it just doesn't make any sense to wait another year. But that's a whole thing with the Bengals. That's that whole mismanagement of their cap situation with a franchise quarterback is just really disturbing. But Mr. Blaine, how about you? I mean, in my mind, it was like, oh, wow. So the Chris Godwin deal, like, they're paying Chris Godwin and Mike Evans combined what the Bengals are paying Jamar Chase. Obviously, Jamar Chase, the best, one of the best, 1A, 1B, him and Justin Jefferson in terms of best wide receivers in the NFL. But the value, I thought, was really impressive that the Bucs got this done with Chris Godwin. But what were your thoughts after this T. Higgins deal?
I mean, I struggle to compare players that are getting paid today, what players got paid last year or the year before. Yeah,
no, it's very difficult.
Cap went up significantly this offseason. Sure.
Absolutely.
Which, again, those are insane contracts. Like, I respect those guys for getting those contracts. I would not pay two receivers that much money on a team, in my opinion. I don't want to pay Chris Godwin what we're paying him to be wide receiver two. Is it a bad contract? I don't think it's a bad contract. I'm not mad about the contract. I think that we could have used that money somewhere else and had a different wide receiver two. Respect Godwin for taking less money. I think the important thing to remember is when you got a guy like T. Higgins, you're looking at a guy who's 3 years younger, not coming off of season-ending surgery in week seven.
Absolutely.
So does the contract look good for us? Yeah. We could have a completely different Chris Godwin next year. Do I think we will? No. I think he'll be just as productive. Like, I have high hopes for Godwin. But had he not got hurt, he probably would have got significantly more this offseason. He probably would have been making more than T. Higgins.
Yeah, that's interesting because he was on track to have, like you said, the career year. But I will say, it, you know, obviously in terms of financial risk, teams might not see it this way. But from an outsider's perspective, the people that don't have to write the checks perspectives, you know, if you're playing fantasy football or something, the good news with Godwin coming off this injury, obviously it's not fun. He's getting older. It's, you know, the Father Time comes for us all and all that. But his game is so much less predicated on athletic ability and all that stuff that I think he'll age a little more gracefully than maybe some of the other wide receivers that, you know, are getting a significant amount of money. I don't know. I thought it was interesting. But like you mentioned, a lot of caveats with this, right? Like you said, the cap is going up so much every year. It's like every year it's a new market. You know, every year whoever becomes a free agent at that position sets the market at that position. Like, that's pretty much how it is.
What's the AAV on Higgins? Do you know?
I don't know off the top. I think it's upwards of 30 plus. I could be wrong.
I know rumors have said Godwin was at 28 to 30 million from the Patriots.
Yeah. So it was definitely around that area.
It's one of those things where, like, we've talked about these signings, and this year is such a weird year because there's a few teams with a lot of cap space. So, like, the Patriots are really bad. They're making moves, but they're really bad. So they have to pay more to get guys to come play for them. And so, like, it feels weird to compare contracts like the Bucs, where we play in the NFC South, so we're always in contention for a playoff spot because we play in the NFC South. Like, Godwin's going to come back and take less to make a deep playoff run, hopefully. Like, you're going to the Patriots, odds are they're not making a playoff run this year. Could they? Maybe, probably not. But right. They could. So it's like, I just find it hard to compare. Like, you could have a guy that would go take a vet minimum to go play with Patrick Mahomes in Kansas City. Like, it all depends on the team that you're playing for and where you're going. Like, who the hell wants to live in Cincinnati, Ohio?
Yeah, that's
like,
a good point.
There's a lot to take into consideration. So I struggle to compare, like, Godwin's contract with two younger – I won't say – well, Ja'Marr Chase is better, but I won't say T. Higgins is necessarily better, but he's got a better future, if that makes sense.
Like, sure. No, absolutely. So it's hard to compare. Yeah, the aging curve is certainly in T. Higgins' favor. Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's apples and oranges. And like you mentioned, living in Cincy really sucks, but you get to play with Joe Burrow. So, you know, kind of balance.
And no offensive line.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. It's a tough thing. It's a tough thing. There's a lot of different kind of conflicting interests there.
They're going to be playing 3 vs. 11 for the next few years. But
yeah. Yeah. It's tough. They really got to hit on some draft picks for sure.
Oh. Sure.
Definitely tough. But shifting our focus more to exclusively Bucks specific stuff, they just restructured Tristan Wirfs' deal, and I'm assuming that there's some more stuff in the works there. And some things that were bounced around my head just as I was seeing a lot of this stuff. And Zach, you're going to love this, so I hope you're excited to talk about this. I'll shoot this right to you first, but Baker Mayfield, he's on a pretty sweet deal right now, especially in terms of how much money the quarterbacks are making right now and how productive he was last year. So in the Bucks' mind, like, are you thinking, hey, he's going to be XYZ cap hit. If we extend him, then maybe we can reduce some of that cap hit. So I just wanted to hear y'all's thoughts on maybe potentially extending Baker Mayfield, giving him a bit more years and just sort of spreading the money out. And Zach, you're president of Baker Mayfield Fan Club. So what are your thoughts on extending Baker Mayfield? Are you really excited, or are you maybe going to?
Yeah, I love it. I said it when we signed him. I said he could be a franchise quarterback for us. And I think everyone thought I was a little bit crazy at that point. And here we are. And now we're talking about him being a budget quarterback at this point for the production he's giving us.
Absolutely.
I think the smart thing to do is to extend him. Obviously, I'm not going to pay him Patrick Mahomes money or Josh Allen money. I think that's crazy for anyone to pay that much money, but I get it. I do think that we should extend him because then that opens up some more cap space. There's still quite a few solid free agents that I wouldn't mind going after if given the cap to do it.
Yeah, and I think that's certainly something that's in the works. It's just difficult because Baker, I'm sure he's aware of it, but he also probably knows that if he waits out and has another great year like this, then it's like, you know, it just goes to even another level.
If he has another 40 touchdown season, he's going to make
right.
Double what he can make now.
If he has a year like this where he like reduces the interceptions by a little bit, then mm-hmm. he might not become Josh, like you said, he's not going to get that type of money, but he's going to be like a tier below, which is still a lot of money.
Yeah. I mean, I think we expect him to be in a tier with like, I don't want to say Jordan, Joe Burrow, but like close to that type of money.
I get you. Yeah. The Jordan Love, Joe Burrow, Trevor Lawrence tier. Absolutely.
Yeah, exactly. Like sure. He's going to be a top 5 to 10 paid quarterback. Yeah. Without a doubt.
Yeah, without question.
And so I think that this comes down to how loyal, not loyal, but how much do you want to stay in Tampa? Like how much do you want to build around? And I think that there's other things that take effect or play a role in that. Do we keep an offensive coordinator for longer than a year? Because that sucks for him. He's been in the league for, 8 years now? And it's had,
he's had different ones every year. Different
offensive coordinators. Like it just, it's got to suck. So I think a part of it plays – or part that plays a role in it is keeping people around him that he wants. Maybe he'll take an extension to play with people that he knows are going to stay around or play with teammates that he knows are going to be there and have shown that they'll take that pay cut.
And it's difficult because, like you mentioned with the offensive coordinator thing, like they're not – he's not going through attrition in Tampa Bay because they're struggling. Like it's the exact opposite. You know, like they're having success. So therefore, because of that success, they're leaving to go get head coaching jobs. And it's just tough because I think him and Bowles have a really good – like they seem to get along really well. So it'd be difficult to imagine them splitting, you know what I mean? So I don't know. It's a curious thing. It's an interesting development. But Mr. Treek, how about you, man? What are your thoughts on a Baker extension? How excited would you be for it? Maybe you're saying, hey, pump the brakes because Baker's probably not going to take a deal at this point because he's going to get a big payday if he plays another season. What are your thoughts on this?
I think we should definitely go for the extension. I feel like if there's one position, I feel like, you know, you would want to, you know, do this. It's our quarterback. And, you know, from the top of my head, I can't imagine anyone. I mean, I can imagine a lot of quarterbacks being on our team, but they're just not going to join us, of course, you know, like Patty Mahomes or Josh Allen, of course. But, you know, thinking about that, of course, I think it's definitely worth it. You know, you kind of reduce the cap hit. You can put that money into some other players as well. I think. Yep. So, yeah, I think he is. I think he deserves it, of course. I mean, we're getting a bang for our buck with, you know, what we've, you know, done with Baker Mayfield. And I don't want to just immediately, you know, just run on this Baker Mayfield train blind, you know, with Mr. Zach Blaine, but there's something about
we've had two good seasons.
Yeah, that is true. No, but you know, there's something about Baker Mayfield that he just fits well in Tampa. He actually does, and I feel like it's time we, you know, give him a little bit more respect, and you know, things like, you know, going a little bit, you know, the extra mile to try to make sure that, you know, our offensive coordinator stays. You know, sometimes it's a little out of our control when you're working with snakes like Liam Cohen. But
I was just gonna say it really felt like they tried with Cohen. Like, brother, yeah. We'll make you the highest paid offensive coordinator, and he's just, we should have seen it coming. I'm upset that I freaking rooted for that guy.
That's all right. We all make mistakes. But yeah, Mousab, you bring up a great point. Like, he's yeah, I don't know. It's tough because I think Baker knows just as much as the Bucks do that, you know, they have him on a pretty good deal. And I think that he knows, just like the Bucks too, that he could potentially be a starting quarterback for a playoff team for three consecutive seasons. There's not a lot of guys that can say that in the NFL. That's just a very rare thing. So even if you, like, just setting aside like any of his you know, individual statistics, which are great. He's also been a great leader in the locker room and all that stuff of a successful football team. So that's just really, it's impressive, you know, so that the teams around the NFL are going to say, hey, we want that, you know, like, hey, we could use some of that energy in our locker room. So, you know, it's going to be a tough thing. I don't know that it happens. But not necessarily because of a lack of effort from the Bucs. I think it might just be Baker Mayfield, rightfully so, saying, hey, I want to see what I can get. You know, I want to continue to make more money, which, again, more power to him. That's the whole point of this, right? Like, that's the whole reason they're doing this. They're not doing this for charity. So, yeah, it's an interesting storyline to monitor, maybe something to monitor moving forward. There's some other extension candidates that we might talk about next week and moving forward. But if you're looking for the Baker Mayfield of wardrobe upgrades, if you're looking for, you know, just an instant, you know, energy rush, see Mr. Tariq's wearing it. He's rocking it. He's got the RBLR Tampa Bay, the Team USA gear. Definitely head to shop.rblrsports.com. You can even see in our little graphic right here, Mr. Tariq's shirt. You know, we've got some great stuff there. For all of your Tampa Bay sports needs, we've got you covered. And we'll give you a promo code. That's Cannons, C-A-N-N-O-N-S. Type it in for 10% off your entire order. We'd really appreciate it. All right, so we're moving to the second half of our episode, and I think I speak for both of my co-hosts. This is the fun part. You know, this is the great part of the episode. We're focusing on interior defensive linemen, not exactly the sexiest position. It's not wide receiver. It's not, you know, running back. It's not quarterback. It's not even cornerback is kind of a sexier position than this. These are the big dudes, you know, the Vita Veas.
Hey, man, Vita Vea makes a defensive line kind of sexy, not going to lie.
That's fair. I don't know that there are any Vita Veas that we're going to talk about. Hopefully, you know, fingers crossed. But, yeah, we'll definitely get into our three different prospects that we've got at this position. We've all got different ones. And we'll start with our round 1/round 2 guys, and then do round 3/round 4, and then day 3 for those that are uninitiated with our process. So we'll start off with the round 1/round 2 guys. And Mr. Treek, I want you to get us going. Who's your guy for interior defensive lineman, round 1/round 2?
All right, I got Mr. Tyleek Williams from Ohio State, the national champions of this year. So this guy's coming from a championship team. Probably an early second rounder from, you know, the different scouting reports I've seen. He is more of your, you know, traditional defensive tackle. He is pretty, you know, he can also shift across the line of scrimmage. Great hands. And for a dude his size, he's got some pretty damn good agility. So you look at the stats. I mean, is he a sack machine? No, but, you know, I was watching his tape and he can cause all sorts of disruption. I think he can make an immediate impact wherever he goes, even if it's not Tampa Bay. Now, the only thing that I've seen from some reports is, you know, obviously he does lack some, you know, some arm length that could be an issue against, you know, better offensive linemen. Of course, sometimes that arm length can be a good advantage if you have it. So, you know, everyone's got a weakness. And of course, the big weakness that I feel like every single one of these guys has probably is, are they ready to go against, you know, the best guys? Cause yeah, you know, people like Tyreek, you know, Tyreek Williams had a field day against, like, you know, University of Akron, you know what I'm saying? But,
right.
You know, how much does that tape mean? Not much, you know?
Right.
Hey, no, I mean, he still performed very well against some other, you know, top tier teams in, you know, in college football. But, you know, I hope you can understand my point. But I also do want to kind of give y'all a shout out as well. Y'all got some good guys, so I do want to hear what y'all got to say.
Oh, well, I appreciate it. That's a great segue into our guys. Yeah, I like Tyreek Williams a lot. And like you mentioned, you know, the Big Ten, it can be a bit of a mixed bag. You know, the bottom of the Big Ten is kind of tough, but that top, it is elite. There's some really good teams there. But at the same time, like you said, a lot of his tape could have come from a little bit of weaker competition, which I can say the same thing for my guy, Derek Harmon, another former Big Ten player. He was at Michigan State before he transferred to Oregon for this past season. And my goodness, his draft stock shot through the roof. He's 6'5", 310, just a monster of a human being. Super athletic for a guy his size. Like, he has a bit of a, you know, a bit of a struggle with some motor skills, which was a bit concerning at Michigan State, but those are pretty much gone in Oregon. Like, as soon as he arrived in Eugene, it was like, oh crap, this guy's going to be a first round pick pretty much. And that's where most people have him, a late first round pick. He slips to the second round, and if he gets to the Bucs, that's an automatic take in my mind, especially if they didn't address this position in the first round. But yeah, he fits that Jason Light mold of just being a super athletic player. You know how Light loves the athletes. And so he's just really, really great in the run. He's pretty good against the pass. I think him, Vea, and Kalijah Kancey would just turn that front seven into such a monstrous group. It would just be really, really fun to watch them do their thing. Struggle a little bit with tackling a little bit. You know, he has a tendency of doing a poor job in quarterback contain, which can be a bit troublesome, especially with mobile quarterbacks becoming such a thing in the NFL. But he's a very intelligent player. He can snuff out what offenses are doing pretty quickly. It's always great to have an intelligent guy on that defensive line because, hey, they have a lot of responsibilities. Even though they're not, you know, necessarily the quarterback of the defense, they still can do a lot to help their teammates. So Derek Harmon out of Oregon, he's my round one / round two guy. Zach, bring us home for this round. Who you got?
I'll make it easy for you guys. I got Kenneth Grant out of Michigan. Second best Michigan D tackle.
For sure.
But realistically, I think he will be around for us at 19. He's a guy who great size at 6'4", 331, just a tank of a human being, essentially. He's going to be one of those guys that you can double team him. It's not going to help. He's very, very good at run defense. He's not going to rack up sacks like Kancey does for us, but he's going to be a run stopper kind of along the Vita Vea pipeline, I'll say. He's the one issue that I saw with him, or not necessarily that I saw, but watching him and then seeing what some of the scouts have said, is he's a little bit of, like, inconsistent on the effort that he puts in, which, being that big of a guy in college, like, I kind of get it, but also at the same time, it could be concerning. I think he's a late round one, early second type guy. If he were there for the Bucs in the second, do they take him? I wouldn't be shocked if they passed on him, because I don't think he's – to me, he's not necessarily a Derek Harmon type guy in the second round. Like, he's very good, but it's not like an automatic steal for me in the second round.
Wow. Okay, I got to be honest. In my mind, he's not quite at Harmon's level, but I think it would be kind of a steal in the second round. I wouldn't be surprised to see them take him. But hey, you know, if he's fallen,
okay. Let me rephrase that then, because I wouldn't be shocked if they took him.
Right,
Harmon, I would trade up for.
Yeah, I'm with you.
I wouldn't trade up for Grant. So I guess that's how I put it. Like, if he were available at pick 15 in the fourth round and we traded up, or in the second round and we traded up to get Harmon, I'd be okay with that. If we traded up to get Grant at all, I'd be like, okay, we did it, but was it worth it? Kind of a deal.
Yeah. No, I feel you. I love that take. I think that's perfectly reasonable. And I think the good news with a lot of the signings that the Bucks have made, they don't really have any, like, I know, Zach, you might disagree in the cornerback room, but theoretically, they could still fill the cornerback room by, you know, they don't have to rely on their late round picks. Like, they can use a fifth or a sixth round pick to trade up in the second round to get Derek Harmon, theoretically, or cornerback, you know, so they don't have, you know, they don't, a lot of the times in these past few years with the cap crunch, they've kind of needed to white knuckle it, and they, oh man, we've got to kind of hold pat because we've got to use all these picks to fill out our roster. That's not necessarily the case this season. So like you said, they could theoretically trade up for a Derek Harmon if he's still there in the second round. But yeah, I'm with you on the Kenneth Grant. We all picked Big Ten guys for our first round one/round two.
I like it a lot.
We'll see how this next little round three, round four goes. I'll kick it off. I got TJ Sanders out of South Carolina. He's a bit of a tweener in terms of where he goes. A lot of people have him in their third round, so he's kind of solid there. But some people have him going in the second. It's kind of a weird thing. But for the most part, solid round three guy. I would be shocked if he fell to round four. But then again, what the heck do I know about the NFL draft? I feel like I've said that before. Super athletic, 8.5 RAS score. I know that's a bit of a tricky thing for some people in terms of bringing those types of things up. But it's just kind of an all-encompassing metric to try to evaluate a player's athletic ability. Obviously, not the end-all be-all, but kind of a good way of evaluating his different athletic traits. He's not super agile. That's why he's not higher in that ranking, but he does have a ridiculous arm length that he's probably got some of the longest arms of this position in this draft class. And he's super explosive, really, really good off the snap. And he can, you know, he's a versatile piece to kind of move around the defensive line, can kind of move all over the place in terms of where he lines up. That's what he did at South Carolina, and that's what he'd probably be able to do with the Bucks as well. So TJ Sanders, kind of an interesting name to monitor in those that round three area. And if he's not picked by the Bucks, then, you know, wherever he ends up, I think he'll be pretty good. But, you know, he's got a lot of really good traits that contributes to being a good interior defensive lineman. But Mr. Blaine, how about you, man? Who you got for your interior defensive lineman in round three or round four?
Let's keep the matching going. We're going to go another SEC guy.
Ooh.
Okay. Norman Lott out of Tennessee. Don't tell anyone. I kind of root for Tennessee a little bit when Oregon State's not playing because I live here. Fair enough. No, this guy is
because they're both orange, but
different color oranges, but still orange. No, this guy has the ability to be a stud. He's good size, unstoppable, like off the line. His first step quickness and his ability to read a play have from watching him play are just phenomenal. There's not much more to say about it. He's just an athletic freak. Like he's gonna test really, really well wherever, whatever he does. He's just really good. With that being said, it's a very, very limited sample size. He never played more than 33 snaps in a game. So with that being said, I don't know that I take him round three or four.
Interesting.
Because of that, he kind of fits what Tampa needs, though, if I'm being honest, because we have our studs. We have our guys who are definitely starting. And he could be a good come in and replace them for a couple plays, go back out and build up. And I don't know if it's a stamina thing. I don't know if it's a Tennessee was really talented on the front. I don't know. So he might be able to play 50 snaps a game. Mm-hmm. But that being said, he's never played more than 33. So that gives me a little bit of caution with taking him in the third round. I would be happy in the fourth with him.
Gotcha. That's interesting. I mean, hey, it's the round three / round four part of it. You know, it's all good. If he's more of a fourth round guy, that still fits. Using sample size is a reason. My goodness, Zach Blaine breaking out the statistics fake and all that. My goodness, I love
it. It took a lot from me. It took a lot, but I did it for you guys. All right.
Well, I appreciate it. No, but I definitely, that's a great point. It's a great thing to bring up because, you know, some of these guys might have – a bit of a snap count, especially starting off. So that's certainly something to keep in mind. Even if you're just using a round three or round four pick on a guy, you're not necessarily relying on him to be a starter, but it's something you got to keep in mind. Because
and he very well could be. If you're taking him that early, you should be comfortable with him stepping in there if, God forbid, Vea got hurt or Kansi right. goes down. Like, you've got to be ready for that. And if you can only play 30 snaps a game, I don't know that you're ready for that. So that's kind of my biggest concern with him.
Absolutely. But, hey, you know, maybe he gets into a NFL training regimen. Not that Tennessee doesn't have great facilities and all that. Obviously, they're an SEC school. They've got better facilities than some NFL teams probably. Yeah. But, you know, it's something that maybe he starts to get that payday and he's like, oh, shoot, I've got to start doing this. So I don't know. It'll be something to monitor for him, especially moving forward as he advances into his NFL career. But Mr. Streak, how about you, man? Bring us home with this round three / round four talk. Who you got?
Ladies and gentlemen, we got a little SEC hat trick. I got Shamar Turner from Texas A&M University. And 6'4", 300. I feel like, you know, first of all, what I like, I just wanted to piggyback off of your choice, Carter, with TJ Sanders, you know, can be used in a variety of positions, you know, on the defensive line. So his speed makes up for his, you know, his lack of that kind of Vita Vea, you know, dream size. But I love him with his, you know, run defense skills. Big thing that I was seeing with, his tape? Violent hands. Now, when it comes to the violence, unfortunately, some reports have, mentioned he can be a little too, feisty. And
a little too violent.
Yeah, a little too violent. Needs to work on his temper, as mentioned by a scout as well on one of these websites. So, unfortunately, that has been an issue in the past, which has cost the team some penalties. But that's fixable with our Tampa Bay Buccaneers therapist. you can always fix those little temper tantrums. But now I have to admit though. You know, kind of piggybacking off of what Zach was mentioning, you know, if we're going to get a guy, you know, this early in the, you know, third or fourth round, you know, you would want him to be able to, you know, kind of fill in those shoes, you know, have if, you know, in the event that Kansi or, you know, Vita Vea go down. And to be honest, I'm a little iffy on that kind of part, but, you know, we'll see, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the penalties thing is concerning because, you know, it's having the discipline, you know, and I think that contributes because, like you said, some draft outlets, like you've mentioned, it's a round 3/4 guy. And then you see some outlets that are like, no, this is like a round 6 guy. And it's like, whoa, what's with the variation? And I think that feistiness, as you so graciously put it, might have a lot to do with that. You know, some people might view it as a huge issue that isn't necessarily fixable. Some people might say, ah, man, you think Ndamukong Suh was a nice guy on the football field? Like, come on now. Like, he was stomping on people's heads and crazy stuff like that. So, you know, sometimes that's just how it is. You know, they've got to be nasty at this position, and that's part of his disposition. You know, that's just part of how he is. So, you know, kind of have to weigh the positives with the negatives. So we'll get to our day three guys now. And Mr. Treek, why don't you kick us off since you rounded us out with the round 3 and 4 guys. Who's your day 3 interior defensive lineman?
All right, we are going to the ACC, gentlemen. We are going I might butcher this name. I should have looked into it a little bit more. But
let me hear it.
Yeah, we're not gonna help you. Come on, big dog. We don't know either.
Aeneas Peebles.
Ooh, okay. All right, all right.
Yeah.
We'll work on it.
Anias, Aeneas, I'll just say Mr. Peebles.
There you go.
Mr. Peebles, Virginia Tech defensive line. Now he's a little than, you know, he's kind of shorter than others, actually, not kind of. I mean, he's only 6 foot shorter than others, but he brings some skills to the table for his, you know, size and speed. I mean, he's a big dog, though. You know what I'm saying? A little kind of little chunky little bowling ball. But look, you plug him where you need him for a few reps. Definitely not a starter guy. I mean, obviously, if you're getting a guy day three, very, very small chance. But, you know, again, as Zach mentioned in the past, you know, we're with this last guy, you know, the big thing that, you know, I would want from any of these guys, whether we get him in the first round, second round, fifth round, it doesn't matter, is, you know, can they be a valuable rotation piece? Because there are going to be times where, you know, our defense gets exhausted because we keep on throwing out these, you know, third and long conversions, and boom, our opponents get the first down, and it just, you know, they keep banging out the yards, exhausting our defense. So getting fresh legs and valuable fresh legs would be nice. So yeah, if anything, he's going to be a role player, rotation guy when you need help with the run defense, especially.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's all about depth. Some with a lot of these day three guys, you know, just finding guys that maybe aren't complete players, but maybe can fill certain niches, can fill certain roles, just filling in for specific, very specific duties. And that seems to be what Mr. Peebles brings to the table. I won't try to butcher his first name either, because I would be even worse. But yeah, I like it. He's definitely an interesting guy to monitor. Maybe even if he, like you said, if he slips through the draft, a lot of these guys could maybe be undrafted free agents, because when you get to these day three rankings, it's just such a guesstimate. You know, you just never know. So my guy's kind of in that ilk, Tonka Hemingway, another South Carolina guy, go Gamecocks, I guess. But he's very borderline. A lot of people have him sort of more as an undrafted free agent, just because unfortunately he does not grade well in the RAS score. He is not super big size, 6'3", but only 284. And he's not nearly athletic enough to make up for that lack of, you know, sort of size, because he's more of a nose tackle type. He's not really versatile enough to play, you know, on the edges or even on the defensive ends in the 3-4. So it's more of like a practice squad guy, maybe a long-term backup for Vita Vea if Gaines ever leaves or if they ever decide to part ways. Definitely a practice squad potential guy, because, you know, he was there at South Carolina for 4 seasons and he played 48 games. Like, he has a track record. Like, he knows what he's doing out there. He's also got a crap ton of academic accolades, super smart guy, big time leadership role at South Carolina. So he could be a really important piece to just, you know, being a practice squad guy and sort of being a leader. Maybe, I know that sounds weird and kind of sounds silly, but, you know, it's important, because when you're doing practices and stuff like that, it's important for everyone to keep the energy up. And Hemingway seems like he could do a really great job of that. So, you know, he's fine in rush defense. Just interested to see how his career develops, because he seemed like he was really well liked in South Carolina. So he's kind of a good story kind of thing. So I'd love to see him succeed in the NFL. But Zach, bring us home with your day three guys, and who you got for your day three interior defensive lineman.
Yeah, I really like your guys. Tonka Hemingway is a guy I really liked. As far as how Musa put it, Aeneas Peebles sounds like something I don't want to have on a Friday. but my guy, I'm going to stick to the SEC again. I'm going to go Georgia, Nazir Stackhouse, a guy who, as a run defender, is phenomenal. I mean, you got to think, he's coming out of Georgia. Georgia is a defensive line producing animal, and this guy is a 3-year starter there. So with that being said, he's got the pedigree. He's played against top-notch talent. Again, he's a great run defender. Big concern, abysmal in pass rush.
Right.
He is not a good pass rush player at all, at least not by himself. And I think that's what holds him back and makes him a late pick or undrafted free agent, because his pass rush is non-existent and he's not developing it. If he gets into an NFL facility and develops a pass rush, this guy could be a steal on day three. He's a heavy hitter, smart, good at dissecting a play and determining what it is. And when he hits the running backs, I'm telling you, it's like a brick hitting a wall. Like, he's a stud. I think he could be a steal in the late rounds again if he develops that pass rush. If he can't develop a pass rush, then he's a 2-down situational lineman. And for a 7th-round guy, that's not bad. But if he could develop that pass rush, he would be one of those guys that we're talking about in a few years going, I can't believe someone got him in round 7.
Yeah, absolutely. And the good news with the position that he plays, you know, like you mentioned, he was that 2-year starter at Georgia. Or 3-year, I'm sorry. Yeah, 3-year starter at Georgia. He was that nose tackle, just sort of anchor of that defense in the run.
He's a do-your-job type kind of guy. Like, my job is to step in here, stop the run, I'm good.
Yeah, and so maybe he doesn't have the upside of some of the other interior defensive linemen we've talked about for the, you know, earlier portion of the draft, but man, those guys are still pretty valuable. You know, he could still I really like that guy. He's really, really interesting. I like Stackhouse quite a bit. I think he could be a really interesting fit for the Bucks, because, you know, I like Hemingway more as a story. I might like Stackhouse more as a player, if we're being honest.
Yeah, agreed.
Yeah, so it'll be interesting to see what the Bucks do in those late rounds. Those are kind of, you know, victories at the margins. If you can even get a little bit of value out of those players, just if they can turn into somewhat productive players, that's just such a massive win.
If you get 4 years of decent play out of a seventh round player, you're like, okay, we won. Whether he puts up big stats or not, if you got him on the team for 4 years, it's a successful round seven pick.
100%. Yep, that's absolutely the way to look at it. But we're heading towards the end of our episode. Really appreciate y'all tuning in. We'll be back next week with some more NFL draft stuff, as we are every week. And who knows, maybe some more news will happen in between now and then. So we'll be back at you. Definitely hit that like and subscribe button if you haven't already. Give us a follow at RBLR Sports or at RBLR Bucks to keep up with our content as well. We'll be going live every week, and then we'll be having an NFL draft live episode. But before that, we'll also have a mock draft episode, which is going to be super fun. We'll come to a consensus, and we'll give you our picks for the Bucks. But until then, really appreciate y'all for tuning in. Really appreciate my co-hosts as well for making my job so easy. And
yes, sir. Next week,
and as always, go Bucks.
Go Bucks. Go Bucks.
Thank you for tuning into this presentation by RBLR Sports. On your way out of the stadium, please remember to like and subscribe.